If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
Hey, everybody. You're listening to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. This is a special episode. First of its kind. This is our first guest episode. I brought on one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, one of my best friends for the past 6 years. Very funny man, Mr. JD Etheridge. What's up, my man?
Hello, hello, hello.
How's it feel, first guest? You feel good?
Well, I feel honored, man. You know, Nick said the N-word one time, but we'll come back to that later. I've said this about 4 or 5 times so far, but we got to get these takes right. But Nick has said the N-word once before. It was not with malice. It was in good intentions. Good intentions. JD Etheridge, claims adjuster, hit me up on Instagram. That's JD Etheridge, claims adjuster. I'll adjust any and all claims in the great state of North Carolina.
Have you found the transition between comedy to insurance claims to be pretty smooth?
Yeah. Not smooth at all. My life went to shambles. I hit a very dark spot. I was angry at everybody, including myself.
Right.
And I went into a pit of emotional negativity where I was just filled with doubt and paralyzing fear. And then I got on adjusterpro.com. And then I took my test and became certified by the great state of North Carolina.
Don't you wish you could say that shit in a job interview? Like, so why do you want this job? Like, well, I'm in a pit of despair right now, and I feel
if you had told me that life was going to get bad this year, I would have laughed in your face, because all of y'all had moved out. I had just won the UCC, so my name was out there. I was booking gigs like every weekend, like every week, like during the week, like birthday parties and shit like that. I was making decent money. It wasn't stable, but it was decent, and it was honest work. Mm-hmm. And then the coronavirus hit, and I got fired from a self-employed gig.
Yeah, and your job just stopped existing, Randy.
It just stopped existing. And my first thing my mom said was like, "What's your plan B?" And I was like, I mean, that was it. Like, that was plan
that
A,
was
B,
plan,
C,
plan
D.
A to Z. Yeah.
That was all. That was every plan.
Yeah.
But, you know, through some soul searching and just realizing what's important in life, like, I'm not saying, like, anybody still want to do anything, more power to you. But I like fun. Stand-up was fun. I've had, I want to say, just as much fun playing Apex with Nick and Carl during the quarantine.
Yeah.
Like, the ups and downs feel about the same.
Right.
With the games me and Nick play, the ups and downs feel damn near the same. As far as, like, bombing in front of people that don't speak English and crushing at good nights. Like, me, it's just, I don't know, bro. I just try to enjoy things when I can, bro, and not trying to be like, okay, once I get here, I can enjoy this, or once I get there, I can enjoy that.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's the healthy way to think about it, for sure.
Yeah. I'll say for about 2 weeks, I was thinking, you know, we'll stay at home for a couple weeks, everybody will get a shot, and then we'll be good to
go. You'll be back. And here we are, a year later. If you want to go to a club, you got to, like, climb over a mound of dead people to get on stage.
Yeah, and then you gotta, like, ignore the dead people. Like, what they die from? Like, being in here.
Yeah, from seeing me talk about anal. Can you imagine seeing me talk about anal, and then you're on a vent?
I would hate for anybody to get sick because they want to see some open mic comedy.
Literally my worst nightmare. Literally,
I'm like, yo, that's the worst way to go out, bro.
To hear me babble on stage fucked up about something that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And then you're sick now because you went and saw that. That is my worst nightmare,
100%.
But JD, what was your life like growing up? How's your dad? That's what the podcast is about. It's a whole dad podcast.
I like the way Kenyon did it.
We all like the way that Kenyon did it. But this is our third try at this point, so.
Yo, do I gotta say everything twice about how y'all done? Well, Kenyon done glowed up. Nick, you about the same. Well, Nick, it's crazy though, because Kenyon done glowed up, and Nick, you gained a bag of dog food. Like, you told me in the car,
how much you weigh? And I said, oh my God, this nigga's joking. And then you sent me a picture and I was like, I didn't know how to go, like, stop playing with a photo. Hey, this is a real photo.
Yeah, I've gained about a bag of dog food. You're right about that.
But in all seriousness, though, it looks good on you, bro. You look like a man, bro. You look like I can't just knock you over.
How do boobs make me look like a man? How does that work?
Cause you know what's in them boobs? You know what's in those boobs, those titties?
What?
Do you know what's in those man titties?
It feels like tears.
Determination.
That's true. Confidence.
Perseverance.
Hidden right there in the man titties, a reservoir.
I'm telling you, bro, you can't just not. Bro, any dude got a little bit of meat on his chest, you can't just knock him over, bro. I'm sorry.
You can't
just knock him over.
I got a little bit. It's not hair on my chest. I got a little bit of meat on my chest.
Now, little bird chest ass nigga, you push him right down, bro. Get the fuck out my way, bro. Little bird chest. But a little bit of meat on the chest, you like, what's up? You might knock me up, but you're going to stumble?
I'll never knock you over. I know that.
You might, though. If I'm on an off day,
If I'm like now, running down
now
a
that
hill.
You now that you are a fellow thick boy, you can do anything. Before when you were skinny, I was like, I'll beat Nick ass. If Nick did anything to me, bro, I will fight that nigga. Now that you thick, I'm like, yeah, I gotta be on my toes, bro.
Thick. The man has a sad stomach. I've seen it. It's not thick per se. His stomach just looks like it's frowning. I don't know any other way to describe it. It's a frowning belly button.
Yeah, dude. It's sad.
It looks collapsed. It looks like there was a skin avalanche on your stomach. It's sad.
There's no way, bro. There's no way your belly button is, like, turning at the corners.
No. It's drooping.
No, yeah. It looks like one of those, you know when people have bugs in their apartment and they get, like, a tent in their house? It looks like one of those if it was just, like, deflated around the house.
Yeah, that's actually a post that on the Instagram so people will see. But that is a perfect metaphor.
Yeah, for real. Put it on the Instagram. I want to see that.
Yeah, that's, it's
a piece put on the story or something. I really want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but Ken, you glowed up, bro. Nick, you got fat.
No, it's right at the time where nobody sees me is when I decided to give it. Everybody listening
right now. I said, Nick, you got fat. He went to go say something and just started smoking his vape pen.
Just to feed him.
That's how you know nothing. It's real.
That's how you know. That's fat man energy. Is like, wait, I'll try. Never mind. Actually,
like,
it's because I leaned over to talking to the mic, and I could feel my fat wrinkle on itself, and I was like, yeah, I can't say shit.
Yo, I'm telling you guys right now, I'm getting you ready, bro. You're gonna get fat in one day too.
Already fat.
Kenny, I saw what you thought was fat, bro. You were just awkwardly shaped. You were never fat,
bro. I was fatter before.
I've never seen you big.
I was fat when I was in middle school, and then I was pear shaped. It was to the point. I mean, if you can't take your shirt off without apologizing, I think that's fair. And I was there until probably yesterday. So,
I hate you.
So don't you would say, oh, you're not fat. Okay, but can I take my shirt off at a pool and not make people cry? No, I can't. So I'm fat. I'm going to put myself in the fat category.
Oh, my God, bro.
It was hard pear shape.
I mean, everybody got a little bit of meat, but, like, fat is, like, when people, like, got to look at you and be, like, trying to figure out exactly how fat you are. Like, oh, I'm fat. Like, nigga look at me and be like, oh, you fat? And it's different kinds of fat. And me and Nick are the same kind of fat.
No
you
look way. Like, no way.
We're the same kind of fat. We're the same kind of fat. I'm not saying the same weight. I'm saying the same kind of fat. We look like we used to be smaller. That's it.
Okay.
I think you guys are going a little easy on yourselves there. Fat people always do that. They're always like, I'm not fat. I'm just like
true,
slightly
though.
Husky. No, like, your
but that's
your face
true. Niggas be like, niggas
looks
be
like a fucking
like,
float. Right?
Niggas be like, you play. Did you play ball? And I'm like, nah. They're like, oh, you play ball? I'm like, nah. I look like a nigga that tried to play in high school and nobody picked him up for college.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
He just got chunky. Like we all know them people.
Yeah.
They played in high school and nobody wore them because they were trash.
Yeah,
they just work at Walmart.
Those people kind of piss you off because they don't even have the motivation to be truly fat. They're just still sort of. You're not even just eat the other slice of cake. You know what I mean? Don't just sit here.
But Ken, I'm going to tell you right now because you're not there. When you get to, because right now, You are still on your first fat. Nick is on his first fat. I'm on my like fourth or fifth fat.
Nah, bro, I'm on my 10th. You're really taking away my fat XP points. I spent half my childhood not wearing shirts in the pool, and you're sitting here acting like that didn't happen. That's
but
I'm talking.
But did you were you fat and like losing weight and then getting fat again, or were you like
no,
fat,
I was a fat
and gradually losing
and
weight?
And then I puberty/drugs got taller, skinnier. We got fat again because our lifestyle didn't change whatsoever. And then recently
fat too.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm straight now, but I've had two fats.
Okay, see you're your second fat. See, you should know about this, bro. When you start getting fat, like where Nick is right now, Nick's at that spot where he's like, he can look in the mirror and go, if I wanted to, I could bring it right back.
That's worst true. Kind of fat, bro, because it's worse. Oh, no, yes, it is, because I've looked in the mirror and I could change it. I could change it. I can't. I can't do
Nick
it.
Nick is literally 30 minutes a day for, let's say, 5 months away from being the exact same thing he was.
I know, and I won't That's do it. It. I won't do five, it.
That's bro. It. That's it.
Because I'm not
three
fat.
3 miles a day and cut down the beer, and then you're right there.
I'm not it's not enough to break the Brit. It's not enough to break that.
No, what it is you have a girlfriend. That'll change it, right? When you have a solid, same with me, I have a girlfriend. When you're comfortable, you don't care as much. If you were single right now, you'd be doing a Bowflex as we're recording the podcast. Because you know that you just can't just look like shit out of here.
But somebody,
if someone loves
when this
you,
man starts lying, stop him. Keep going, though. When he starts lying, slap him the fucking face. Keep talking, nigga. Talk this shit.
I'm just saying. When someone loves you, that's when generally you start to look like shit. When you find
bro. When you get a relationship... When you get to a relationship, right, you're truly like, yo, it's gonna sound cheesy, but you're like, yo, I think I'm at peace. I think I'm done. Like,
retire. You can retire.
This ain't no game, bro. This is a real deal.
Yeah.
You start gaining weight because I think you need that weight to hold down the house. I'm holding shit down. Right? You can't be long term with a short term body.
That's
short term body niggas are like. Little bird chest, thin dudes that, like, just keep, you know, vaping and be like, yeah, I'll call you, whatever. No, he ain't calling you.
He's gonna literally float away to another pussy.
You get you a big-ass nigga like Tank Smith. Get you a Tank, that nigga ain't going nowhere, bro.
Mainly because you need to help him off the couch. Like, he physically can't go somewhere else without your help.
Tank's a big boy. We gotta get him on this
Tank.
Pod.
Tank's the next guest on the pod.
Tank, I know he's crazy. I know he's wild. And I know I have personal feelings against his sinful lifestyle. But for real, if I'm being dead ass. I know I pray for him, bro. He's sinning right now. He's sinning right now, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I do not like it. I do not like it. It's not good. I don't like it. But that dude loyal, bro. When he locked down, loyal. Like golden retriever, whatever. Loyal, bro. But right now, he's doing whatever. I'm praying for him. You know, I'm his brother in Christ forever. But, you know, one day he's going to hit me up and be like, man, you keep talking about me sitting on these podcasts.
Yeah. Are you a religious?
But you are, Tank. I'm sorry, bro.
Are you a religious person, JD?
I am. But a lot changed these 11 months, bro.
Yeah, did you?
Ever since the 7 years of hard work I put in just evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
A lot has changed.
Yeah.
And Nick makes me mad because Nick will be like, JD quit comedy. I'm like, Kenya, how do you quit?
Like, something that doesn't exist.
It's like if we all work at the same factory and we show up to work one day and there's yellow tape on the doors.
Yeah.
And then Nick's off on the side being like, man, y'all quit the factory.
Right.
And we're like, Nick, we all got fired.
But there's people in the factory right now, you know, on fire. And they're like, what are you, pussy? I mean, that's what comedy is right now. Comedy is a factory on fire.
People in the factory with asbestos and shit.
Yeah. And then there's people like licking asbestos before you get on stage. They're like, what, do you not want it? And I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want that.
No, it's more like the factory got closed, and then there's a sign that says, we'll reopen later, and you're like, oh, it's over.
What that sign at?
It's over.
What that sign at? My nigga, what that sign at? Like, I swear to God, me and Kim be quiet as shit. Where's that sign at?
What sign
said?
The vaccine, bro. It's all coming. We're all going to take the vaccine. Everything will go back to normal.
Who's taking the vaccine?
I'm taking a vaccine.
Hopefully
a lot. Let your cracker ass take that shit first. Me and Kane ain't doing a goddamn thing, nigga. Fuck you. We're not taking that prototype vaccine, bro.
I'll test it on grandma first and see what happens.
They gonna test it, bro. I got tested for COVID like 2 weeks ago, and there was a black line and a black and brown line and a white line. On God,
really?
On God, black and brown line and a white line. The black and brown line is going so fast, bro. It's like we're at a drive through McDonald's.
Damn.
And when I got to the main tent, guess what the big COVID test is? Y'all know what it is?
The self-administered thing?
2 Q-tips in the nose.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
But she didn't even, like, do it circle.
It's self-administered, right?
No, I didn't do nothing. Oh. She said, I wrote my window down, and she said, JD or Joshua, and I was like, yeah. She pulled out these 2 Q-tips, shoop, shoop, and said, thank you, and ran away.
Hey, and damn. You didn't have COVID. Look at that.
Didn't have COVID.
But that seems suspicious to me, bro.
Yeah.
Why does she say thank you?
Because she appreciated your nostrils.
Y'all making me mad because y'all doing that thing I don't like when white people do, bro. Y'all doing that thing. I do not like it when they do that. Y'all, because y'all see it. Because y'all can see it from my perspective, but y'all are going, that's peculiar. That seems very strange. And I hate that. That's one thing I hate more than anything in my life, bro. I will flip out, bro. Like, y'all can't do that to me, bro. Y'all know.
Okay, you're right.
Y'all know something's up, bro.
You're right.
Okay, I'm just saying.
It's all bad and it's all sinister. But, and they're after
but,
you.
But speaking of people.
But why the white
you?
Dude beside me get a clipboard? Why he fill stuff out? Why his test take like 15 minutes, bro?
Maybe they were testing him for, you know, we got to test white people to see if they're good white people or not.
Nick, there's no such test, bro.
I've been through some tests.
Because if there was a test that was like, you're a good white person, white people would flock to that test and pay any amount of money.
Right. It's that generally,
would be, would pay,
that
would
actually
pay
would be.
$899.99 yeah. plus tax. To have a piece of paper that goes, I'm a good white
person.
I
thought that's just that's the NPR true. Tote bag you get when you donate $100.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
I thought that's the good white person certification. But speaking of suspicion, JD, I'm on this podcast to talk a lot about my dad who's crazy. I think your dad's also kind of got a similar thing with paranoia.
100%.
And man, yeah, just let me know like what
all right.
what that's about.
All right, we're going to bring it back because Nick fucked up the first time. Let's bring it back.
I'm not good at
my dad. All right. Man, Nick, shut up, bro. I'm trying to tell the story, man. Like, you can't mess anything up.
All right.
Oh, my God. All right, so I don't think of my dad just was, like, straight born insane. But it was, we talked about it earlier, he was doing drugs at a young age, and I can't really, like, fault him for it because he didn't, you know, nobody really knows the effects. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, like, back in the day, a doctor would prescribe you a cigarette, or they had put cocaine in soda, mm-hmm. or whatever, like, ain't nobody knows that it's doing things that kind of work, and it seems like making people feel good. So he was doing that, and then I guess he was, like, he called himself trying to get his life together when he met my mom. So he kind of just tried to stop cold turkey and get with her. But before he met my mom, he was running around with like, I don't know how many women. So when he married her, another woman came out the blue. I said out the blue. But she came out and was like, yo, I'm pregnant. He was like, oh, shit.
God,
well, I can probably handle this. And then my mom was like, I'm pregnant too. And he was like, my world's collapsing.
Yeah, he's like, I can handle one, but not two.
So,
that's like when the second plane hits the tower.
Yeah, for real. So my dad's like, well, fuck that. I can't do this shit. So he starts doing drugs again.
Right.
Starts,
I mean, what choice do you have when you find out you're going to have to be a father to do kids besides him?
And that's all he knows. Like, yeah. Fuck,
yeah. That's
like,
legit. Oh, that's a legit stressed. Logical decision so far.
Like for a drug addict, like, just like the one so, way I
handle
stress. If
I find
stress,
out I impregnated two women tomorrow, I might start smoking crack.
Absolutely.
100%.
I'm like, God. Like, this is
or, I mean, or just go far away.
Yeah, no,
you
know probably.
I mean? Only
yeah.
two things you could do.
Yeah.
But,
those are the only two things you can either do,
no,
crack,
you can also race the kid,
or
you
go
can,
away.
No,
nah, man, who doing that pussy-ass shit? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, man.
They said you can also take care of your responsibility. Yeah, Nick, shut up. Enough. Get your own podcast, bro.
Raise your kids podcast, bro. Oh, raising your kids ass nigga.
There are a lot of those podcasts. I've listened to them because of
it's an uncomfortable amount of people talking about how you should raise your kids. I'm like, you don't know who I am. Right. You a white Christian couple in Utah. Right. What the fuck I'm going through out here? But anyway, he started using it again because like I got two women pregnant, and you know, it's just bad. My mom doesn't know what addiction is because she's like. Like I said, it's brand new, and she's like in law school, and she's doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. She just thought my dad was a hardworking man, and he does work hard, but like he's also got addiction.
Because of the,
and my dad the doesn't know. Well, I think it was mostly. It's got to be like cocaine and crack. I mean, it's got to be the only thing he described it is like I'm just doing it to stay awake. He always said I was smoking dope. But I'm like, what the? I can't stand that old ass shit. Like I was smoking dope.
I was like,
I'm
is that weed or what is that?
He was trying to stay awake for work because he would work before school. So I'm like, there's no way you were smoking weed before in the morning, like 4 a.m. to stay awake.
Like a bad way to stay awake. You're like, I'm awake real hard for 15 minutes and then I come my pants and then I gotta fucking find more of this.
Yeah, so I think it had to be. It's cocaine or crack. I think it had to be cocaine. Really, for the amount of
did your dad have like a trust fund? How did he manage to afford that? I'm like, you were kind of successful if you had a cocaine addiction. Like you kind of made it on something.
That comes into it because he was like, I guess in his brain he was just like, let me just make enough money to keep doing this because he was a salesman, so he would make good money. But and like he would tell my mom like, I bring home the whole check. But she's like, you bring me the check after you done bought drugs and shit with it, like. Yeah.
Which you're gonna bring your check. At that point, it's like a post-it note that says IOU.
Yeah, it's like 100. You know, bro, when you're married with kids, giving your spouse $100 is, you might as well slap in the face. Yeah, like, what the fuck am I doing this shit?
You might as well just straight punch her in the mouth, yeah.
You got three sons.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some shit like that.
But I'm awake, though.
But he's awake. You know what I'm saying? So that's happening for a while. My mom's trying to get him help. It ain't nothing working. I don't know about addiction.
Right.
So, but then like eventually, I guess he kind of slows down or stops with the drugs. But then he just, instead of doing drugs, he starts running around a bunch of different women, you know, behind my mama's back and stuff like that. And then my mom's like, I can't get you to act right. So then one day we come back home from school. I believe it was a Friday. And all of our stuff's just packed up. She said we're going on vacation. So we get our stuff and we just drive away for like a weekend to get a hotel. Cause my mom just left a note in the house saying like, you've got to be out of here. Like I can't deal with you no more. So we came back from the weekend. His car was still in the driveway. And, we went to my grandma's house, stayed for like a month or two. And then, that's pretty much it. Like, I remember them fighting a lot. In the meantime, my dad, like, and that's when my dad started going crazy, like, talking about people trying to break in the house when we were separated and stuff like that, when nobody had tried to break in the house before. But,
do you have, that was it. Do you have, like, one, like, particular story that you can remember, like, a specific incident that was just,
like, wild? The funniest story didn't even involve, the crazy thing, the funniest story of my dad didn't involve no drugs or nothing.
Right.
It was actually functional at the time. But we had, like, we had a chimney in the living room. And I thought, I didn't know this could even happen, bro. But, like, we had a bat infestation. We had a big ass chimney, bro. Like,
the fucking 1800s?
It's a big ass house, bro. I'll show you a picture of the house. It's a big fucking house. It used to be owned by like a wealthy like politician in the area. His wife was like an artist or something like that. But they had money. But it was like big. For the area. I mean, for anywhere, it's a big ass house. But it's an old big house and shit like that. But we had like a huge chimney, and just over the course of like a week or so, we would see like just like black. You know, you see something on top of the windowsill, you don't know what. Like, you're not going to investigate or whatever, but it's like, you're like, that might be. Is that dust? Is that a spider? I don't know what that is. And then like, every so often we would get like a bat inside the house, just because it got like, it, you know, they sleep in the chimney and get lost and come out, you know, in the house, whatever. But I remember my mom had put like cut up garbage bags on some fireplaces because she didn't want everyone open. And we were sitting there watching. Give me a second. We were watching TV one morning and we had like heard some stuff like banging on the trash bags on the fireplace. And we all got up. We were like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, we were like, ain't nothing so supposed to be trying to get out the fireplace.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, like, there should be a thing trying to escape the fireplace.
Bro, like, imagine you look at the fireplace, bro. You start seeing, like, dust just drop down. Yeah. Like, oh, like, something coming. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And then we started seeing it, like, and it became apparent, like, it was more than one thing behind the fireplace. And then we were like, oh, holy shit. And then I forget what we did, but I think we had to go get my granddad and like try and figure out what we was going to do. But
are things like coming out of the fireplace?
We know it's bats. We never see this many bats. Like, I'm telling you, like, it's like it's like I'm not lying.
What do you do at that point? You're like, oh well, obviously like someone has placed a curse on us.
That's what we did. Because we saw these bats, and we went down to the main fireplace. Because we were like, this is the only one place. Because my mom said, go make sure they're not coming out the main fireplace, because that's not covered. That's the one we actually use a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we go down there, and we walk in the room. It's like six or seven bats just like in the room and shit like that.
I would be like, who is playing Jumanji in this?
Yeah,
bro. It's super crazy. So my dad goes in there, and it's funny as shit. This is the first attempt. He goes in there, sweatpants, shoes, hoodie. Had one of old hoodies that had a thing where it had elastic in the hoodie. He pulled that shit all the way tight, so he can't see a motherfucking thing. Like he pulls it straight. Like it's so tight, bro. Like he pulls it tight. He looks like he's in armor. And I like in as a kid, I was like, yo, my dad looked cool. Ass shit right now. Like he looked cool. He's matching. Everything matching.
He looks like an anteater.
Yeah.
And he grabs a tennis racket.
So he's blind.
He grabs a big ass tennis racket, and he just walks in the room. And the living room has these big ass. It's weird house. It's crazy. He's got these big ass sliding doors on both sides of it. So he throws them open, walks in there, and slams behind them, and then he just starts swinging on these bats, but. I don't know how bats work, echolocation or whatever. I promise you, because my dad went in there to fight six or seven bats. That's what he went in there to do. He went. My dad. He a lot of things. He ain't scared, but he went in there to fight six or seven.
That's
bats.
When you're kind of happy that your dad did some drugs at some point.
Yeah,
because we didn't know nothing about this. I'm like, my dad is crazy. I'm like, he's just wild.
Yeah,
I'm like legit like. Oh, I'm like 9, 10 at this time. We young.
Yeah.
But he goes and he's like swinging on 6, 7 bats. And I'm watching him through the crack. We're like watching him fight. And my mom, my grandma, like, get back because she don't know bats to get out. We're like watching my dad swing. And then we chill for a little bit. And then we start hearing my dad scream a little bit, like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And then I do not know how bats work to this day. But I do believe when you start swinging on one bat, they start screaming and other bats can hear that. Right? So, it's crazy. Like, the next time we opened the... Bro, it's crazy, bro. The next time we opened up the doors, it's like a hundred bats. At least 100 bats. It's 100 bats in there flying around my dad's head.
Your dad is stuck in a bat vortex.
It's like... You know the money pits that'll bring to school? Like, if you can get any money you can catch, it's yours. It's like that, but with bats, and he's swinging on everything he can. Like he's like an anime character. Like he's swinging so fast, bro. I can't see his hand, but he's swinging like crazy. He's swinging like crazy. And then I remember that visual of just being like my dad's getting jumped by his bats. And I remember at a certain point, he had to retreat. He was like, I got one tennis racket, too many bats. And he just ran out and shook the thing. He was like, we gotta do something.
Oh, so dad's like, okay, the house is the bats now.
We gotta do something, and it's move out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad's like, nah, he's like, we're gonna burn them out. And I'm like, we're gonna burn the house down? He's like, no. But then we went outside, got some firewood, and threw it in the fireplace and just lit it up. And then, well, he lit it up. He took the firewood in there all covered up. But when we went outside, but he lit a fire and like that smoked the bats out of our house. But
yeah, I don't know what I would do if you open it and see just a fucking bat vortex and your dad.
We had them for like a weekend, about 3 days, I think, because we found them and then we had to go to a hotel because my mom's like, the house is infested. We can't even stay here.
The
bats were everywhere.
The house. Yeah.
Over the weekend they bombed it. They poisoned it, but there was still a lot of bats in the chimney, and then they smoked them out, and that's how they got rid of them. But just that visual of my dad, like, really just going ham on bats
was just imagining him with the elastic over his head.
He's fully geared up, like everything's covered head to toe.
And just that
he's got like oven mitts on or whatever.
That's literally like Batman when he was a kid and fell in the cave and that fucking.
But I'm just like, this dude cool it, like my dad cool as shit, bro. He's winning now. And just started going to town.
Well, you know your dad was training by, like, fighting the shadow people he saw after being awake for 3 days. You know that was, the tutorial for the bat. He's like, I've been here before. I can handle this later, pal.
But see, all that, I think he truly went crazy when my mom said, I'm done with you. I can't.
Right.
We got to get divorced.
I just fought 100 bats for you.
She's like, yeah, but you also ran my credit score down like 400 points. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just couldn't get right.
Right.
But I think that was his main way of justifying. Like, if he goes, man, I was just so messed up. I messed up my own marriage. That might shatter him.
Right.
But if he goes, people were planting stuff on him. Like, even to this day, he's like, people are tapping my phones.
Right.
He said somebody stole his jacket.
What if it was all bats? What if he was like, bats are tapping my phones? Bats are falling.
Really, he said the Mexicans are trying to get me.
Oh, okay.
What? The Mexicans and the Muslims.
Right.
What those two groups got in common?
M&Ms.
Why is he not like a full-time Fox News anchor? As soon as they
he don't trust nobody.
I was like, why isn't he doing like a speaking tour with like Candace Owens, if that's his opinion?
He said, I want to rent out a room in the house, but I don't know if they're friend or foe.
Friend or foe.
He said that, friend or foe.
That's kind of like medieval. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's that medieval.
But he says they're breaking into the house and they're like pushing all my furniture to the side, and like they're moving my shovel.
What a mediocre thing to break into a house to do, by the way. It's like, okay, this is how we're gonna get it on JD's. Break in and move the couch 2 inch. Guy, I'm gonna have a team. That's all my dad is too. Like
all
the elaborate conspiracies to do like such a mediocre thing.
In a certain universe, there's a universe where somebody is fucking with my dad that hard. Like they're really breaking into the house and just shifting things around
a little bit, and in that universe,
just to fuck with him,
it's the bat vortex. Just like moving around his furniture, that's what a bat vortex could do. That's all it could do. Couldn't steal money.
My dad just yells at people. I got to end on this, bro. He'll get dressed and stand in the doorway, and if anybody is wearing the same color shirt he got on, he's like, "Now I know that they know." That I know. Like, he's like, I know. He said, now I know that they got cameras in the house to see what I'm doing so they can let me know that they see what I'm doing.
You gotta love that.
Like, that's a real thought, but that's all I gotta say, bro. That's a real thing my dad said.
Oh my God. Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.